You are listening to a sermon from New City Bean.
Over 10 years ago, Marvel Cinematic Universe started a series of superhero films. And back in 2008, it started with the first film, Iron Man, which is still one of my personal favorites. 22 films later, the franchise is still going strong. And what we've learned from these films is that the world loves their superheroes. Every year, movie theaters are packed to watch these superheroes on screen. In an article for BYU University, Jacqueline Thursby, professor of, wait for it, folklore and English education, believes that superheroes restore hope. She goes on to say this, and I quote, "Everyone, at some time or another, needs to be rescued. It might be rescue from illness, loneliness, too much work, and hero figures provide a temporary escape." End quote. To the culture, these Marvel heroes restore hope. They rescue people and provide a temporary escape, really from reality. Today, in a similar way, we come across what I call an unexpected hero. A hero who restores hope, who rescues spies, and provides an escape for God's people. And this hero is named Rahab. And the writer of Hebrews mentions her in this chapter full of really unexpected heroes of the faith. And so before we jump into our text, let me just read our text before us, our passage. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. This is God's word. "By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." Well, let's pray. Father God, we ask that your Spirit will illumine us and really open our eyes to your word. And we just pray, Father, that you will tug at our hearts and that we hear you today from wherever we're listening from. Lord, all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are continuing our series in the book of Hebrews, really making our way through chapter 11, as some would call the Hall of Faith, because the list mentions some of Israel's greatest leaders, as I mentioned. Last week, Pastor Brad concluded with the story of Moses' faith and the parting of the Red Sea. However, before we transition to verse 31, I really want to quickly mention verse 30, because I think it sets up our story perfectly here. As mentioned, the writer of Hebrews is making his way through Israel's history from Abel to Moses, from Genesis to the end of Deuteronomy. And in verse 30, we find a remarkable story. It's originally found in the book of Joshua. Let me read it for us, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. So as the story goes, there was a great fortress that was protected by these giant walls. And our kids at New City V know this story all too well, because it's in the Jesus Storybook Bible. So parents, if you want to pause this, ask your kids if they know this story. By all means, go ahead. But God's people here were ready to fight. Right? But they were ready to fight, and so they wanted a battle plan. However, God told them really a different battle plan. He told them to march around the city and to blow their trumpets for 7 days. After the seventh time, the walls came down on the city. And so what did Israel learn that day? Or what did we learn? Well, we learned that God can and will do the impossible. As it says, again, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And so faith believes God can do the impossible. Therefore, Israel believed and obeyed God. As we go to the next scene, I want us to notice something first in verses 29 and 30. The writer of Hebrews tells us of the parting of the Red Sea. Then, as I just read, the great city of Jericho was being torn down. Both events were led by Israel's well-known leaders, Moses and Joshua, two remarkable stories. And now, Now, in our text, we come upon a unique story. In the middle of the Hall of Faith, in the middle of these ordinary, yet imperfect, but great men, we find, really, this great woman of God. To the world, she may not have been a great woman, but to God and to the writer of Hebrews, she was worthy of being included in this list. And so here's my theme, here's my aim for all of us today. God chooses an unexpected hero of courageous faith to redefine history. Let me say that again. God chooses an unexpected hero of courageous faith to redefine history. And so three things that we can learn from Rahab's life today, and I'm going to just outline this for us. The first thing that we find is God saves people with a past. Second, we'll find God purposes people for his good. And then lastly, we'll find that God redefines people for our hope. And so let's go to our first point today. God saves people with a past. Well, Rahab's faith is mentioned two times in the New Testament, here and in James. There's also a third time where the New Testament mentions Rahab, and I will definitely get to that later. But in the book of Joshua, it actually tells us of Rahab's story as well. Both places in the New Testament, going back to the New Testament, both places in the New Testament identify Rahab as a prostitute. And that seemed to be an important piece of information for both Hebrews and James, to add that specific description. However, regardless of her position or status, she was worthy enough to be an example for us today. In fact, her life is more than an example. It actually should be an encouragement for us. You see, nothing commendable stood out in Rahab's past. No little girl dreams to become a prostitute when they grow up. You become a prostitute because the most terrible things happen to you. You're either abandoned or abused, and other things that we can't even imagine. And so the question for us today is, if women were already treated as second-class citizens back then, how do you think Rahab was treated as a prostitute? Nothing about her past makes one think that she could be saved. Nothing is mentioned to where she can identify with a Jewish audience. So this is what makes her story all the more compelling. Allow me to give a full description of Rahab. Rahab was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a Jew. She was from a different race. She was a Gentile. She didn't have a Christian upbringing. She didn't come from a rich heritage or family wealth. She wasn't a recognizable figure in society because she was a prostitute. Rahab was part of a corrupt, a depraved, and a pagan culture. It's the reason why God commanded Israel to destroy the Canaanites in the first place, because no one out of the entire city lived honorable or respectable lives. Yet one thing stood out from the writer's perspective. In fact, one person stood out from God's perspective in this place that God was about to destroy. You see, Rahab was the one person in the city who believed. She wasn't commended for her past. She was commended because of her courageous faith. I like how one commentary puts it, and he says this: Rahab was a woman in a man's world, but faith accepts no such distinctions. Maybe you're listening right now and have a troubled past. Maybe you think you're beyond God's gift of salvation to you today. Maybe you have no Bible background or rich Christian heritage. But listen to me. That's okay. God doesn't love us based on our past, no matter how messed up we are. You know, back when I attended a Christian high school, there was a movement in the 90s in evangelicalism called the Purity Movement. The intention was somewhat good, I think. It was for students to remain pure in light of a sexualized culture. But it ended up backfiring because it shamed a lot of people, a lot of my friends, including myself. It actually de-emphasized God's grace. I remember on one occasion, one of my teachers wanted to teach us the importance of purity from the Purity Movement. And so she gave us a cup of clear drinking water to pass around the class. And then she said this before she passed around the cup. She said, "Do whatever you want to the water as it's being passed around." And so students would put whatever they could find in the cup. It was dirt, it was gum, some people would spit in it, some people put pencil sharpenings. And so when the cup finally returned back to my teacher, it was just so filthy and full of stuff, full of all these gross things. And then she says this. She holds up the cup and she says, "Look, it's important to remain pure." And she asks this question. She says, "Because who would want to drink from a cup, this dirty, this filthy cup?" In other words, those who sin and may have made mistakes are dirty and filthy. And so maybe, just maybe, there were good intentions there. But can you imagine really all the shame the students who had a troubled past felt at that moment? Those really who have made mistakes bearing all the guilt of the past. Can you imagine Rahab, the prostitute? And just imagine how she would have felt at that moment because of her past? Well, as I think back at that moment now, you know, the truth is, Jesus would drink from that cup. Jesus accepts no distinctions, man or woman, troubled past or not. No matter how sinful you think you are, Jesus accepts you with open arms. And so let us learn from Rahab's story. God saves people with a past. Well, as we continue, the author or we're reminded with Rahab's life that God purposes people for his good. The full story of Rahab's faith is found in Joshua chapters 2 and 6. And so let me give us a brief description as to what happened here. When Joshua sent out two spies to watch the situation in Jericho, they found a place to stay in the house of Rahab. And so she protected them and enabled them to make their escape. She was risking her life. That's part of her courageous faith. And so this enabled Israel to overtake Jericho because they were doomed if caught. And so in return, when Jericho was defeated, she and her family were saved from the general slaughter of the Canaanite people. And so let me read for us a story. You could turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. I'm not going to read everything. I'll just read little parts of it. But Joshua chapter 2, and I'm going to read starting with verse 9. This is a story when the spies came. So this is Rahab. It says, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. Verse 10, before we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites. But then it continues, listen here, in verse 11, and as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there is no spirit left in any man because of you. And then she says this, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. And so those beautiful words prove Rahab's faith in her belief in God. And then it continues in verses 12 to 14. It says this, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I've dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And here's the response from the spies, from the men. They say this, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." The end result, as I mentioned in the beginning, is that the city was defeated and the walls came tumbling down. However, one part of the wall didn't come down. The part of the wall just happened to be where Rahab lived. It was the part where the scarlet thread hung down, as mentioned in verse 18 of Joshua chapter 2. And so everyone who was in Rahab's house was saved. So two things happened. Israel defeated Jericho and used Rahab to do so because of her faith. And at the same time, she and her family were spared. And so we fast forward to Joshua chapter 6, starting with verse 25. And I'll just read the first part. It says, "But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive." But listen here. There's a greater purpose here, and I want us to pay attention. Look at the second half of verse 25 of chapter 6 in Joshua. It says this, "And she has lived in Israel to this day." She joined God's people. She was in the family of God. And it says, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You know, God purposes those for our good, for Israel and Rahab's good. But the story doesn't end here. And that takes us to our last point. God uses Rahab to define history, to redefine history. God redefines people for our hope. Remember those words in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. "And she has lived in Israel to this day." Well, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, Rahab is placed into the lineage of Jesus Christ. And so here's how this story unfolds for Rahab. And really, it's a beautiful thing once we connect all the dots. Okay, so just follow me here. If you have the book, you have the books of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, right? After Joshua, you have Judges and Ruth. And this ties into the book of Ruth. Ruth is another famous woman in Israel's history. And so Ruth married a man named Boaz. Rahab is the mother of Boaz. A couple of generations later, after Boaz, a person named David was born. And so as my daughter refers to David, I say David, she says King David. And so that's how Israel knows David. They know David as King David. Therefore, Rahab is the great-great-grandmother of King David. So the question is, who's King David? Well, I want us to follow this for a moment. If you have your Bibles, we're going to do a little Bible drill. You can turn to the end of Judges. Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says this, "In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And this is a very sad verse. And so take note, there was no king in Israel. But here's the thing, God raises an earthly king. At the end of Ruth chapter 4, starting with verse 21, it says this. It says Solomon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. And verse 22, it says Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered who? King David. And so what naturally unfolds in the next books in 1 and 2 Samuel is that God raises an earthly king. And that's David. King David's life, if you study King David's life, his life ultimately points to a greater king. And so we fast forward to Matthew, and we find really the greatest announcement in an often overlooked passage. So turn with me one last time to Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 1. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it says this, the son of David. That's King David. And so right there, it should tell us something. You see, to us, it's just Matthew 1:1. But to a people looking for a king to save them, it's the greatest announcement in heaven and on earth. And let me read for us Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And it says this, and Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab, and so you know what God is doing here? God is redefining history. And Rahab's story points to Jesus. You see, Rahab was the unexpected hero in our story today. She was a prostitute with a sketchy past. She risked her life because she believed in the God of Israel. Her testimony and faith is to be an encouragement to us, especially to those who are carrying a weight of guilt right now. No matter your background or upbringing, let Rahab's story speak to you today. She's the unlikely hero that we can look up to as a source of hope. However, history tells us of another hero. It's really the unexpected hero. The Bible tells us this hero had no beauty that we should desire him. Throughout the Gospels, the world wanted a superhero to rescue them. In fact, throughout the whole Bible, the world was looking for a superhero. And Jesus came into the gospel story. He was an unassuming figure the world overlooked and eventually killed. And so let me go back to Professor Thursby's article or her quote on superheroes. Let me read it again. She says this, everyone at some time or another needs to be rescued. It might be rescue from illness, loneliness, too much work, and heroes provide a temporary escape. Well, everyone at some point needs to be rescued. And Jesus rescues humanity by risking his life just like Rahab. He rescues us from sin and our sinful past. Jesus redefines history for all of humanity. He is our unexpected superhero who provides not a temporary escape, but he provides an eternal hope with him. Let's pray. Father God, we're just thankful for this example in Rahab and ultimately the example of Jesus Christ, who lived a life that we could not live and died the death that we deserved, so that we could experience everlasting joy in you forever. And so we just pray, Lord, that this story, these words, sink into our hearts. No matter our background, no matter our past, we know, Father, that your love is extended to all people. And so we just pray, Father, that we exercise our faith and believe in you, in your goodness, and in your gospel. Lord, speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.